There is an old story about a weekend guest who remarked to his hostess, "When I get home, I'm going to mail you a new book." Whereupon she replied, "Oh, don't do that. I've already got a book." As I look out at you people here as a kind of a general captive audience, I'm reminded of that. You may be able to get along with one recovered stutter, but about 2.5 hours later and 8 recovered stutters later, you may understand why she wanted only one book. As I looked over the list that Dr. Joe Sheehan mailed to me, who was going to be here on our distinguished panel, I began to read their books again to try to size them up. Perhaps you are trying to size us up, or already have or will have before the afternoon is over. I believe that in addition to the matter of being a recovered stutter, or a stutter non-recovered, that we have some other common denominators. And this is not as a matter of boastfulness or a matter of great pride, that I hit upon the common denominator that in other than the problem of stuttering, or in somewhat other than the area of being a recovered stutter, that I think each and every one of us here on the panel have been somewhat highly successful in our own real personal endeavors. I don't mean necessarily worldly-wise, but in reaching our own kind of goals, and this is beyond the problem of recovered stuttering. I am very sure that there's not one here on the panel that's going to put in a great claim to being a genius in reaching these goals. And in my mind, I believe that perhaps as a common denominator, whether we are a school teacher in the field of business, the field of medicine, field of research, that there are at least a couple of little items that bear mentioning. One is that along the line someplace, we have hit upon the knack of meeting reality. And I'll mention that in a moment. We've also, along the line, been highly enthusiastic about the general endeavor that we happen to have. And I think these are two items especially apply to our own personal attacks on the problem of stuttering. In meeting reality, I mean not only that we have to find a great amount of good satisfaction in the ordinary daily tasks of life. And Lord knows we do have, each and every one of us, that we are not trying to take our amount of satisfaction in a kind of a dream world. I also mean that we are recognizing and we're trying to do something about our general conflicts between desire and our real ability. I think it was Joe, when he was up here just a little bit ago, mentioned that he used to dream about addressing an audience. I presume we've all done that, and I presume we've done it whether we were non-stutterers or not. But I think I had to meet the fact that not only just dreaming about it, that I was going to be in my mid-50s before I was actually up in front of an audience like this. And that's more reality than the kind of daydreaming we go through as a youngster. I think all of us have to recognize that it requires a great deal just to retain our own status quo, either as a stutter or as a non-stutter. And so I feel that the fact of recovery indicates that we have met our own personal weaknesses, our weakness of the problem of stuttering in all its goriness. And I use this word, goriness. I ran across one sentence in a recent little book that Dr. Blumel turned out. And if any one of you could apply this sentence to yourself before going to bed some night, it'd be a lousy night. That sentence reads that the stutter of a person is often diffident, very sensitive, very self-conscious, indecisive, very tense, and easily confused. Now listen, there's a stutter that you actually meet this kind of a situation, and then you read that. You read it over a couple of times, and you don't have to stay up at night looking at the last ghost story on the television before you go to bed somewhat aware that you're a pretty weak individual. I think these kind of things that are things that we have to meet. I have avoided mentioning or even making a suggestion that a stutter in meeting this problem had to be a very courageous man. I've used the word he had to be an enthusiastic individual. He had to meet life with somewhat of a great amount of enthusiasm. I have in mind especially our attack on the problem of stuttering. In my own instance, I was first exposed to speech correction therapy in what I would believe is the very same school, the same alma mater in the city of Detroit that Dr. Brunel mentioned. I hadn't heard this in his life history before. And he referred to it, and we all referred to it, as a commercial school of quackery. I believe that we look upon it as having a scheme that is entirely obsolete. It's certainly in much ill repute. I'd like to have you remember that when I went there, I was a youngster, age 12. I was too young to try to question everything that was put out in front of me. I was too young to be a courageous man, so I wasn't just meeting it out of courage. But I did develop enthusiasm for the only kind of a tool that was put in my hand. And I think this is awfully important to everyone in the field of speech correction, that regardless of the different methods, the different kind of theories that you're going to hear about, that you know about, that you feel very secure in using, that unless you can develop this amount of enthusiasm in the individual that you're working with, that you're lost. Joe mentioned that I'm the director of the National Speech Improvement Camp, the University of Michigan Speech Improvement Camp, Shady Trail. We run almost a half a dozen, we run exactly a half a dozen different little age groups up at the camp. Each of them are headed by a speech correctionist from various schools. This is not a University of Michigan school method. We're located more than 300 miles off the University of Michigan campus, somewhat autonomous, where the administration isn't in watching to see if we are running the University of Michigan method. I have seen these methods over the various 26 years that I have been up there. And I defy one to match up in the way of results against another. If the head of that group can develop enthusiasm, complete acceptance on the part of the youngsters in that group, I think I'll end my remarks there and hope to get back in on this again.